This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
In our previous majlis, we concluded hadith number 36, walhamdulillah. And وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And remind, for verily a reminder benefits the believers. In our previous hadith, hadith number 36, narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ نَفَّسَ عَنْ مُؤْمِنٍ كُرْبَةً مِنْ كُرَبِ الدُّنْيَا نَفَّسَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ كُرْبَةً مِنْ كُرَبِ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Whoever removes a worldly difficulty from a believer, then Allah will remove a difficulty from him on يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. وَمَنْ يَسَّرَ عَلَى مُؤْسِرٍ يَسَّرَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Whoever makes things easy for a believer, Allah will make it easy for you in this world and the hereafter. وَمَنْ سَتَرَ مُسْلِمًا سَتَرَهُ اللَّهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Whoever covers a believer, Allah will cover you in this world and in the hereafter. The cover could mean that you clothe them, or it could mean that you cover up the matter. You do not expose them. وَاللَّهُ فِي عَوْنِ الْعَبْدِ مَا كَانَ الْعَبْدُ فِي عَوْنِ أَخِيهِ. Allah is in the assistance of the slave for as long as the slave is in the assistance of his fellow men. Then, وَمَنْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقًا يَلْتَمِسُ فِيهِ عِلْمًا سَهَّلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِهِ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever seeks a path of knowledge, Allah will make his path to paradise easy due to it. وَمَا اجْتَمَعَ قَوْمٌ فِي بَيْتٍ مِّن بُيُوتِ اللَّهِ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَيَتَدَارَسُونَ بَيْنَهُمْ. There's not a group of people who gather in a house from amongst the houses of Allah, reading the book of Allah and studying it, except what? إِلَّا نَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِ except that Allah will send down His tranquility upon them. وَغَشِيَتْهُمُ الرَّحْمَةِ, and the mercy of Allah will envelope them. وَحَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, and the angels surround them. Subhanallah. وَذَكَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَنْ عِنْدَ, and Allah will make mention of them in the heavens. وَمَنْ بَطَّأَ بِهِ عَمَلُهُ لَمْ يُسْرِعْ بِهِ نَسَبُهُ. And whoever is slowed down by his actions, then his lineage will not take him forward. Subhanallah. Brothers and sisters, what a beautiful hadith. What a beautiful hadith. We discuss the fawaid and the benefits from this hadith. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us tawfiq to implement. We learnt it, we understood it. What about the implementation? When somebody asks for your help, do you assist them? Do you expose people's faults, or do you cover up the matter? Do you assist people and make their life easy, or are you one who makes the lives of people difficult? Allahu musta'an. Where are you with seeking knowledge? The one who seeks the path of knowledge, Allah makes his path to paradise easy. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to implement. Brothers and sisters, we now move on to the next hadith insha'Allah. And that is hadith number 37 bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, upon the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, Al-Abbas, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فِيمَا يَرْوِيهِ عَنْ رَبِّهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. From that which the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam relates from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this hadith is what type of hadith, brothers and sisters? This is a hadith Qudsi, excellent. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is stating that Allah said, what did Allah say? إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْحَسَنَاتِ وَالسَّيِّئَاتِ. Allah has decreed, written down the good and the evil. ثُمَّ بَيَّنَ ذَلِكَ, and then made these matters clear. فَمَنْ هَمَّ بِحَسَنَةٍ فَلَمْ يَعْمَلْهَا كَتَبَهَا اللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ حَسَنَةً كَامِلَةً. Whoever intends to do a good deed and he doesn't do it, Allah will write for him one complete good deed. وَإِنْ هَمَّ بِهَا فَعَمِلَهَا كَتَبَهَا اللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ عَشْرَ حَسَنَاتٍ إِلَى سَبْعِمِائَةِ ضِعْفٍ إِلَى أَضْعَافٍ كَثِيرَةٍ. And if he intends to do a good deed and he does go ahead and he does it, then Allah will write for him 10 up to 700 multifold of good deeds. Subhanallah. وَإِنْ هَمَّ بِسَيِّئَةٍ فَلَمْ يَعْمَلْهَا كَتَبَهَا اللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ حَسَنَةً كَامِلًا. And if he intends to do an evil deed but he doesn't do it, Allah will write for him a complete good deed. وَإِنْ هَمَّ بِهَا فَعَمِلَهَا كَتَبَهَا اللَّهُ سَيِّئَةً وَاحِدًا. And if he intends to do an evil deed and he does it, Allah will record for him one evil deed. Subhanallah, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hadith reported in Sahih al-Bukhari and in Sahih Muslim. Brothers and sisters, this hadith shows us, indicates to us the great mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We begin our discussion related to this hadith number one, the takhrij of this hadith reported in Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, the Musnad of Imam Ahmed, Imam al-Tabarani and Darimi. All narrate this hadith from who? From Abdullah ibn Abbas. This hadith has also been narrated from Abu Huraira, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, Abu Dhar and others, radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. Number two, the narrator of this hadith, Abdullah ibn Abbas. We know that Abdullah ibn Abbas was very young when the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away. We know the famous dua our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam made for Abdullah ibn Abbas. Allahumma faqihhu fi al-deen wa 'allimhu al-ta'wil. Allah grant him the understanding of the Book of Allah and the understanding of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allimhu ta'wil, grant him the understanding, the tafsir of the noble Quran and understanding of the religion, subhanallah. Number three, general comments related to this hadith. Subhanallah, this hadith shows us the great justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the enormous grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The grace of Allah. You do one good deed, it will be multiplied. You have the intention to do a good deed, you didn't do it, you still get a reward, subhanallah. You wanted to do an evil deed and you left it for the sake of Allah, you get a good deed. And you went ahead and you did an evil deed, one evil deed is recorded in your book, subhanallah. Mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For every evil, this will only be considered one evil act. But for your good will be rewarded handsomely, mashaAllah. And nobody is wronged with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we will see. Number four, bi-iznillahi ta'ala, the sharh of this hadith, the detailed explanation of the hadith. فِيمَا يَرْوِيهِ عَنْ رَبِّهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. Abdullah ibn Abbas narrates from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who relates from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a hadith Qudsi, and the difference between the ordinary hadith and hadith Qudsi we discussed when we discussed hadith number 24, the differences, and so there's no need to repeat that bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Question, did Abdullah ibn Abbas hear this directly from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam? We find that it's not explicit that he heard it directly from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Why is this an issue? Because we know Abdullah ibn Abbas was very young when the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away. So either he heard this directly from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or he heard this from another sahabi who heard it from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Does this affect its authenticity? Absolutely not. This is a hadith that we would call mursal. Mursal. But this type of mursal is accepted by the ulama, the muhaddithin, no issues at all. As opposed to maybe a tabi'i saying that I heard this directly from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We don't know. Maybe he heard it from a sahabi. Maybe he heard it from another tabi'i. Who's that other tabi'i? Is he somebody who is trustworthy? Many question marks. But if a sahabi narrates mursalan upon the authority of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no issue. Why? Because the sahaba are all udul, they are all trustworthy. Walhamdulillah. So what does the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam relate from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Inna Allah katab al-hasanat wa sayyi'at. Allah has decreed, written down, recorded the good and the evil deeds. Jayid. Allah has recorded and decreed which deeds are evil and which deeds are deserving of reward, which deeds are deserving of punishment and which deeds are deserving of reward. فَمَنْ هَمَّ بِحَسَنَةٍ فَلَمْ يَعْمَلْهَا كَتَبَهَا اللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ حَسَنَةً كَامِلًا. Remember, brothers and sisters, Allah has set out the good and the bad, the good and the evil. Allah mentions in the Noble Quran, وَكُلُّ صَغِيرَةٍ وَكُبِيرٍ مُسْتَطَرٍ. All the big, the small, the good, the evil, all of this here has been recorded, has been set out. Surah Qamar, verse number 53. And there's nothing that escapes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of your good, all of your evil, none of this escapes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is aware of all of this. فَمَنْ هَمَّ, whoever has the hum. What does hum mean? فَمَنْ هَمَّ بِحَسَنَةٍ, he has the hum for a hasana. He has the hum for a good deed. What does this mean? We find that the ulama divide matters. They say that a hajis, hajis, this is like a fleeting thought. A hajis is a fleeting thought. You don't really give it consideration. It's something that, it just comes in the mind and it flows out of the mind, in and out. There's no sin attached to this. This is a fleeting thought. This is a hajis. Then a higher level than this, we have level 2, something called a khatir, a thought. This is something that comes to the mind, you give it consideration, and then it leaves the mind. Here also you are not responsible. Here also there's no sin, etc. So hajis was level 1. Level 2 was a khatir. It's something that you thought of. You gave it some sort of like consideration, and then it left your mind. There's no sin, nothing, no effect, no issue here. Level 3, hadithun nafs. Hadithun nafs. Where you talk to yourself, basically. These thoughts that you play around with the idea. You consider either to do it or not to do it. If it was evil and you didn't do it, there's no sin, right? Or anything like that. Whether it was a good deed, whether it was an evil deed. Hadith al-Nafs, there's no accountability with regards to hadith and nafs. So those were three levels that we've discussed so far. Hajis, level 1. Level 2, khatir, a thought, you give it some sort of consideration and then it leaves your mind. Number 3, hadithun nafs, much stronger. You play with the idea, you consider, do I do it, do I not do it, alright? Here also there's no repercussion and there's no accountability with regards to hadith and nafs. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah does not hold accountable the individual based upon those matters that we cannot control. We find in the Noble Quran, Allah mentions, لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَإِنْ تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبُكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ فَيَغْفِرُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. To Allah belongs that which is in the heavens and that which is in the earth. And whether you disclose what is in yourselves or you conceal it, Allah will call you to account for it. And Allah forgives whomsoever He wills and punishes whomsoever He wants to punish. And Allah knows all things. When this verse was revealed, the Sahaba were perturbed. They said, Ya Rasulullah, other matters, okay, we can stay away, but are we going to be held accountable for what we think? Will we be held accountable for our thoughts, etc.? Because according to this verse, Surah Baqarah 284, that we will be held accountable for what we think. Then subhanAllah, Allah sent down the revelation, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. Allah burdens not a person beyond his scope. He gets rewarded for that which he has earned, and is punished for that evil that he has earned. And then the dua, O our Lord, punish us not if we forgot or we fell into error, etc. Surah Baqarah, verse number 286. And so the second verse indicates that that which you think about, you know, you will not be held accountable with regards to that matter. Also the hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَجَاوَزَ عَنْ أُمَّتِي مَا حَدَّثَتْ بِهِ أَنفُسَهَا مَا لَمْ تَعْمَلْ أَوْ تَتَكَلَّمْ. Verily Allah has overlooked for the believers of my ummah that which their souls think about, as long as they've not acted upon it or they've not spoken about the matter. So these three levels, the hajis number one, khatir level number two, and hadithun nafs number three, no accountability with regards to that. Then we have level four, and this is what we would call hum. You could call this in English maybe decision, right? To propose an idea, to intend something. You know, he meditated over the matter. He meant something. You were determined with regards to a matter. The intention and the want to do an act is present. The intention and the want to do an act, it is present. It's not 100% that I will, 100% do it, but, I'm convinced that, I have the intention to do this matter, right? It's just short of what we would call complete resolution. It's one level short of complete resolution. So this is called the level of ham. That's what we are discussing in this hadith, inshallah. A level higher than this. Is there a level higher than this? Yes. Level 5, this is what we would call azam. Azam. This is when the heart is completely determined to do an act. The only way that, you might not do it is, if there's something that prevents you. If there was a barrier or something. You've got complete resolution to do this matter. This is level 5. And this is what we would call azam. Azam. So our hadith dealing with the level 4 and above, whoever has ham for a good deed and he doesn't do this good deed, Allah will record for him one complete good deed. Subhanallah, subhanallah, the power of intention. Tijaratul ulama, as some said, the business of the scholars. He might not have done the act, but he had the intention to do the act. He had the complete intention to do this act. He will be rewarded for that. Subhanallah, one reward for that. So whoever has the ham to do a good deed and he doesn't do it, he will get one complete good deed as a reward, inshaAllah. And then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, وَمَنْ هَمَّ بِهَا فَعَمِلَهَا كَتَبَهَا اللَّهُ. And whoever intends this good deed, and he goes ahead and he does this good deed, subhanAllah, then Allah will write for him Ashru hasanat ila 700 ضعف ila أضعاف كثيرة. Allah will write for him 10 up to 700 good deeds. Subhanallah, subhanallah. If he goes ahead and he does this good deed, it would be multiplied. It would be multiplied. So not only did you think about it, but you actually went ahead and you did the good deed. So here the good deed will be multiplied. Minimum 10 times, and maximum, no maximum, subhanAllah. The hadith mentions 700, certain actions could even be rewarded more than 700, subhanAllah. We find that Allah mentions in the Noble Quran that مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. Whoever comes with a good deed, this will be multiplied 10 times. Surah An'am, verse number 60. And we find certain acts where Allah was clear with regards to reward surrounding this matter. For example, charity, then this person will get the reward. He will get the reward of this being multiplied like 70 times. Abu Hurairah, or rather Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, narrates that جَاءَ رَجُلٌ بِنَاقَةٍ to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He comes with this camel and he says, it is for the sake of Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, for you on the day of resurrection will be 700 camels. 700 camels. So multiplied by 700 times. Also we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ حَبَّةٍ أَنْبَتَتْ سَبْعَ سَنَابِلَ فِي كُلِّ سُنْبُلَةٍ مِئَةُ حَبَّةٍ وَاللَّهُ يُضَاعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. The likeness of those who spend their wealth in the path of Allah is like a grain of corn. It grows 7 years, and each year has 100 grains, and gives manifold increase. Allah gives manifold increase to whomsoever He wills, and Allah is all sufficient for His creatures. Subhanallah. This verse implies what? It implies a 700-fold reward. A 700-fold reward. And in fact, your good deeds could be multiplied even more than 700. For what? For example, your patience, and for example, your fasting. كل عمل ابن آدم يضاعف الحسنة عشر أمثالها إلى 700 ضعف. That all the actions of the son of Adam are multiplied 10 to 700, except what? إلا الصوم فإنه لي وأنا أجزي به يدع شهوته وطعامه من أجلي. That's except the matter of fasting. Fasting, then this is between the person who is fasting and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This person left his food and his desires and his drink for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will be rewarded accordingly. Similarly, with regards to patience, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward those who are patient, and they shall receive the reward in full, without measure, without measure. Not up to 700, even more than 700. Subhanallah. Why? Because of the good deed, mashallah. And so, brothers and sisters, the first two words or the first two lines of this hadith, the first one being that whoever intends a good deed and he doesn't do it, he gets one complete good deed. And whoever intends a good deed and he does that good deed, he will be rewarded between 10 to 700 multiplication of that deed. Subhanallah, subhanallah. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, walhamdulillah. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we take a short break and then we will continue. Hayyakumullah. Then the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, وَإِنْ هَمَّ بِسَيِّئَةٍ فَلَمْ يَعْمَلْهَا كَتَبَهَا اللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ حَسَنَةً كَامِلًا. Subhanallah. Whoever intends an evil deed and he does not do it, he intends an evil deed but he does not do it, then he will get one good reward. He will get a good reward, one complete good reward for that. Subhanallah. I intended to do evil and I didn't do it, I get a good reward? Yes, you get a good reward. Subhanallah. And this is because restraining oneself from evil is good. Restraining oneself from evil is what? Is a good deed. Of course, no doubt about that. Subhanallah. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Allah mentions in Surah Nazi'at, as for him who feared standing before his Lord, and he restrained himself from impure evil desires and lusts, verily paradise will be his, verily paradise will be his abode. Subhanallah. He feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find that, brothers and sisters, this reward is obviously only if the person left it for the sake of Allah. The person left doing this evil deed for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as per that hadith in Sahih Muslim, إِنَّمَا تَرَكَهَا مِنْ جَرَّائِ. That this person left this evil deed only due to Allah. But if the person left it because, you know, people are watching him, he left it because of his parents, he left it because of some other reason, then it's not necessary that he will be rewarded for the leaving of this good deed. In fact, if the person left doing this evil act because he was unable to do it, he was unable to do it, he did not have the ability to do it, there was a barrier, there was something which prevented him, then he will get a sin. Because he didn't leave it for the sake of Allah. He didn't leave it for the sake of Allah. Rather, Allah prevented him from doing it. So he will get he will get a sin and he will be accountable for this matter. Allahu musta'an. And the proof for that is the hadith where the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that two of these individuals fight one another and one kills the other and both of them will earn sin. Right? The one he killed, what about the other? Well, the other he intended to kill his brother. It just so happened that his brother got the upper hand over him, but otherwise he had the clear intention to kill his brother, to do this evil, and so he will be held accountable for that. Subhanallah. So, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, somebody intended evil, and they didn't do it for the sake of Allah. This person will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَإِنْ هَمَّ بِهَا فَعَمِلَهَا كَتَبَهَا اللَّهُ سَيِّئَةً وَاحِدًا. And if he intends to do an evil deed, and he goes ahead and he does this evil deed, then it will be recorded for him one evil deed. One evil deed, it will not be multiplied. It will not be multiplied. Look at the mercy of Allah, that when you want to do good and you intend good and you didn't do it, you still get a reward. You wanted to do evil and you didn't do evil for the sake of Allah, you get a reward. Not a sin, you get a reward. And then, let's say I go ahead and I do this sin. How many sins will be recorded for me? 10 up to 700? No, only one sin will be recorded for this person. Allah does not wrong anyone, subhanallah, and only one wrong evil deed will be recorded for this person. There's no multiplication when it comes to our evil deeds. وَمَنْ جَاءَ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ فَلَا يُجَزَى إِلَّا مِثْلَهَا وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. Whoever does an evil deed shall have only the recompense of that evil deed, and he will not be wronged. It will only be one evil recorded for this person. And so this is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? From the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But take note, when it comes to evil deeds, yes, they are not multiplied, but they can be magnified due to its severity. That's very important. Yes, my evil deeds will not be multiplied, but they can be magnified due to its severity. And what do you mean by its severity? Well, robbing the poor is not like robbing the rich. Both of them are sins, no doubt, but one's worse than the other, right? For example, we find that due to the sanctity of time, if, for example, this person, he commits sins during the sacred months, Qatada, he states that this person, the sin will be magnified due to the sanctity of the time. Other ulama mentioned the sanctity of place. We find that Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, Umar ibn Abdulaziz, they preferred not to live in Makkah al-Mukarramah. Why? Because they were of the opinion that the sanctification of this place, you know, and committing sins in this place, you know, the sins will be magnified. And so I don't want to stay here. And so the type of place that you are committing the sin, you're in the masjid and you are committing sin. You are in the haram of Makkah or Medina and you are committing these sins. You are in Medina al-Munawwara, you are in Makkah al-Mukarramah, you are in al-Quds and you are committing these sins. Allahu musta'an. So these sins will be magnified according to many. Or number three, sins are magnified due to your position or your status, the status of the doer. You find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, Allah mentions, وَلَوْلَا أَن ثَبَّتْنَاكَ لَقَدْ كِدْتَ تَرْكَنُ إِلَيْهِمْ شَيْئًا قَلِيلًا إِذًا لَأَذَقْنَاكَ ضِعْفَ الْحَيَاةِ وَضِعْفَ الْمَمَاتِ ثُمَّ لَا تَجِدُ لَكَ عَلَيْنَا نَصِيرًا. Allah was very reprimanded the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam severely. Why? Yeah, because of this small matter. Also with regards to the wives of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are not like any other women. And so a sin from them will be magnified due to their position. That it is as if that, this shouldn't happen. This shouldn't, you know, happen from the wives of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We also find that if somebody belittles sins, he belittles a certain type of sin, then in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this will be considered great. This will be considered a great matter, a grave matter, because you are belittling this matter. We find that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he says that a believer sees his sins as if He is at the foot of a mountain, and he fears that these sins were going to fall on top of him. Whereas the evildoer views his sins like a fly that lands on his nose, and he just, you know, just chases it away. Subhanallah. The believer, you know, he looks at, you know, the sins, you know, he looks at it as the, whatever the sin might be, it's a grave matter. Whereas the hypocrites and the criminals, they look at it as small matters. When you belittle sins, then it is magnified with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number four, if somebody shows pleasure in the sin, you know, he maybe brags about the sin and he shows pleasure that he really enjoyed this sin, etc., etc., it will be compounded. Another one would be when somebody exposes the sin and he spreads it around. كُلُّ أُمَّتِي مُعَافَ إِلَّا الْمُجَاهِرِينَ وَإِنَّ الْمُجَاهَرَ أَنْ يَعْمَلَ الرَّجُلْ بِالْلَّيْلِ عَمَلًا ثُمَّ يُصْبِحَ وَقَدْ سَتَرَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ فَيَقُولُ يَا فُلَانَ عَلِمْتُ الْبَارِحَةَ كَذَا وَكَذَا وَقَدْ بَادَ يَسْتُرُهُ رَبُّهُ وَيُصْبِحُ يَكْشِفُ سِتْرَ اللَّهِ عَنْهُ. All of my ummah will be forgiven except those who publicize their sins. Publicizing the sins include a person who does some sin during the night and in the morning, although Allah kept this sin concealed from the people, he goes out, he says, oh, so and so, last night I did such and such. And he spends the night being concealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the morning, this person goes out and he exposes himself. He exposes what Allah kept concealed. Allahu musta'an. Allahu musta'an. And then lastly, you know, when for example, you know, you're in a situation where you shouldn't be committing this sin. You know, it's like unbecoming. You know, you've reached, there's no drive, there's no reason for you to commit this sin. Like for example, the individual who's very old, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Shaykhun Zanin, old man committing zina. Old man committing zina. Or for example, a beggar and he's got all of this pride about himself. Allah will not speak to such people on Yawmul Qiyamah. Why? Because there's no like real drive for you to commit this type of sin. It's unbecoming. It's Allah musta'an. One leg's in the grave and you are going ahead and committing zina. You know, somebody in their 20s, it's still wrong, it's haram, but one can understand. Whereas you, uncle, mashallah, grandfather, at the age of 50, 60, you are committing zina. Allah musta'an. Such a person, Allah will not speak to him on Yawmul Qiyamah. So this proves what? This proves to us that sins might not be multiplied. There's no multiplication of the sin, but rather they would be magnified. And subhanAllah, our scales on Yawmul Qiyamah will be counted or they will be weighed. They will be weighed, brothers and sisters. They will be weighed on Yawmul Qiyamah. They will be weighed. And so quality is important, and this magnification of sins is also something to be very wary about. Allah musta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. If, for example, on Yawmul Qiyamah, our scales are going to be weighed, and also our good deeds, all of this here. If for your good deed, it will be multiplied, minimum 10 up to 700. I mean, you really need to have a lot of evil deeds for it to outweigh the good. You really need to have a lot of evil to outweigh that good. And so the point is that we have so much of ample opportunity to do good. Your mere intention to do good earns you good. So how can it be on Yawmul Qiyamah that we are at a loss? We should not be at a loss, brothers and sisters. Have the clear and present intention to do good and you will be rewarded for that. And then go ahead and do good and you will be rewarded between 10 to 700, subhanAllah. Other fawaid from this hadith, we found that Imam al-Tabari states that this hadith is also proof that the angels even record what a person was determined to do in his heart, and not only the outward and the visible actions. Why? Because it will be written for him. He had that hum, and he didn't do the action, he just had the hum, but the angels wrote it down. So the angels even write down whatever you hum, and not necessarily only what you act upon. This hadith also shows us the importance of having good intentions, that your good intentions will take you a long way ahead. Walhamdulillah. It also shows us that the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overpowers and overcomes the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and no doubt about that. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, ample opportunity for us to do good. Have the good intention tomorrow, for example, right now, you have the intention to You have the intention to fast tomorrow. Tomorrow is a Thursday, and so you have the intention to fast. Even if you didn't wake up, you will be rewarded. So have the intention to fast. Then you also have the intention to perform tahajjud salah, walhamdulillah. Then you have the intention to go for salatul fajr at the masjid. Then you also, you know, have the intention that you eventually gonna go to work and earn a halal income for your family. So for all of this here, even if you didn't go to work, even if you didn't wake up for tahajjud salah, even if you didn't fast the next day, you will be rewarded for all of that. Look at the power of intention, subhanAllah. How strong and how valuable and important is intention. You have that ham to do good, and you will be rewarded for that. A one complete full reward you will get for that. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us tawfiq to do good actions. For verily, the intention and fulfilling good actions will earn us great reward in the hereafter. Yawm al-Qiyamah, we do not want to be the muflis. We do not want to be those who are running around looking for a good deed here and a good deed there. Rather, we will act and we will do now so that we will not be at a loss in the hereafter. Hassan al-Basri, he says to somebody in the masjid when there was a janazah brought, he asked the people, do you think that this man would want to come back to life and do good acts? They said, 100% yes, no doubt, no doubt about that. He would love to come back and do good acts, do good deeds. So then Hassan al-Basri said to them, can he come back? They said, no, he can't come back. He's gone, he's passed away, no return. So Hassan al-Basri said, then why do we want to wait for a day like this when we want to do good deeds and we are unable to come back and do good deeds? Now is the time while we have the ability, while we are still breathing, while our heart is still pumping. Now go ahead and do good deeds. Do not procrastinate. Tasweef, I will do it when this, etc. No, do it as soon as possible. Make that clear intention. And so even if you didn't do it, you will be rewarded. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. On that note, bi-iznillahi ta'ala, we come to the end of tonight's majlis. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us khair and barakah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala record our sitting in our scales of good deeds. Yawma la yanfa'u malu wa la banun illa man atallaha biqalbin salim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you all khair and barakah. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka la abdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Your brother in Islam, Bilal Ismail, of the Al-Kawthar Institute and Imam Development Project, bidding you farewell for tonight. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.